Morning, everybody. Hi, my name's Pat, and I'm visiting today from Moore College. I'm in fourth year there as a student. Thank you very much for having me and others from the college here today. It's a pleasure to be here to look at this wonderful part of God's Word together. So how about I pray and ask for God's help? Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you speak to us in your word, and we ask that we would listen to you this morning, that we would see ourselves clearly and see Jesus clearly. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought I might begin this morning by telling you a little bit about myself. And really the most important thing about me, which is how I became a Christian. And I first started going to church when I was in high school with my friends. And for the last few years of high school, I put a lot of energy into being a good Christian boy. I went to youth group and to church every week. I went to all the Christian groups at my school. I had a big group of Christian friends. I was even in a Christian band called Daybreak. It was as cool as it sounds. But when I finished school, I got a job as a salesman. And I had this job for about 2.5 years, and it promised me that if I worked hard enough, I could become successful and wealthy. I could have control over my own life. And I really bought into that message. And over the time that I was in that job, I slowly drifted away from church. I started to ignore all of my Christian friends. I quit the Christian band. See, I thought that I was a good person and I could be a good person without God. I mean, I was a good person. And Christianity was just holding me back. Now I could be good and rich. But over that 2 years, two things happened. The first thing was that I learned something about myself. I learned that I was sinful. I wasn't the good person that I thought I was. I'd actually treated my Christian friends really horribly. I ignored them, cut myself off from them completely. Probably the worst one was when I didn't turn up to a show with my band, didn't even tell them. They had to go on without me. I wasn't the good person that I thought I was. But the second thing I learned was something about Jesus. I learned that he was full of compassion and grace. In the first place, I learned that through my friends. That even though I'd treated them so horribly, they welcomed me back to church with compassion and grace that pointed me to Jesus. And ultimately, I learned it as I went back and read the Bible for myself. And I saw that Jesus would welcome me too if I turned to him. Now, the reason why I tell you that this morning is partly so you can know a little bit about me before you have to listen to me for the next 20 minutes. But also, I think that those two things come out of the passage that we've just read together. See, as we spend time reflecting on this encounter between Jesus, a woman, and this Pharisee, I think we see those two things. And we ought to learn something about ourselves. And we ought to learn something about Jesus. So let's get stuck in to Luke chapter 7. And really, the way that Luke tells this story, he brings out different contrasts and comparisons between the characters. And the first contrast he draws is between Simon's response and Jesus' response to the woman at the dinner party. In particular, it's a contrast between Simon's outrage and Jesus' compassion. So Luke sets the scene for us in verse 36. This Pharisee, we find out that his name is Simon. He's scored an absolute coup. Jesus is the talk of the town, and he's coming to his house for dinner. But Luke doesn't draw our attention to what's happening right in the middle of the dinner. He's not concerned about the conversation with the sophisticated religious leaders happening in the middle of the table. Instead, he draws our attention to something happening on the edge, to the fringes. He wants us to see the actions of an unknown, unnamed woman. All we know about her is that she has lived a sinful life. Listen to the way that Luke carefully describes her and her actions. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. It's beautiful, isn't it? Luke paints a vivid picture of this woman's tender devotion. Her emotions are overflowing in affection for Jesus. They are beautiful, but they also seem wildly inappropriate. This is a dinner. At least that's what Simon the Pharisee thinks, because he is outraged. And he scorns the woman. He calls her a sinner. But in particular, his outrage is directed towards Jesus. Did you notice that in verse 39? How can Jesus let this happen? He should know better. Doesn't he know what sort of woman she is? But Jesus isn't that naive. As Luke goes on, we see that Jesus knows exactly what Simon was saying to himself. Jesus knows who this woman is. He knows what type of woman she is. It's not that Jesus is ignorant, it's that he is full of compassion. So he doesn't shoo her off, but he accepts her affection. He doesn't recoil from her, but receives her devotion. He's not concerned about his own reputation. He's not worried about what the other dinner guests will think of him. Rather, he welcomes this woman without apology and with no embarrassment. Simon is full of outrage, but Jesus is full of compassion. Now, I wonder, does that comparison surprise you a little bit? Maybe people think Christians today are a bit more like Simon. Have you heard the view that Christians are arrogant? They consider themselves better than other people. They look down on people who don't measure up to their high standards of living. Maybe you even think that yourself. But what we see in this passage is that snobby, arrogant Christianity is completely out of whack with the example of Jesus. Do you know this Jesus who is full of compassion? The Jesus who welcomes all who turn to him? Christian brothers and sisters, do you follow the example of this compassionate Jesus? And of course, the story doesn't end there. Because Jesus doesn't only receive the woman's affection, but he also gives an explanation for it. He defends it and he upholds it as good and right. And here we see the second comparison that Luke draws in this story. See, now we're invited to compare Simon and the woman and how they've responded to Jesus. In particular, it's a contrast between Simon's indifference and the woman's love. And Jesus makes the point by telling a story. It's a pretty simple story, and he tells it from verse 41. There are two men, and they both owe money to a moneylender. One of them owes a rather small amount, say about 2 months' worth of wages. The other one owes a very large amount, say about 2 years of wages. Neither of them has the money to pay it back. But it turns out that the moneylender himself is actually quite a compassionate and gracious man, and he cancels the debts of both. And so Jesus asks Simon this question: which of those two men will love the moneylender more? Now, Simon's an educated man. His comprehension skills are quite good. And so he supposes in verse 43, the one who owed more. And he's absolutely nailed it. Well done, Simon. And I mean, it's common sense, isn't it? Recently, I had to call Optus because I'd received a late fee on my phone bill. I'd messed up the direct debiting on my internet banking. And I called up and I said, can you please remove the late fee. I've never missed a bill before. And they looked at it and they said, yeah, sure. And they removed the late fee. $30 saved. I was very happy. But imagine if they had have cancelled a whole year worth of phone bills. Imagine how grateful and happy I would have been then. So from my experience, Jesus' story checks out. It makes sense. But of course, Jesus isn't just telling this story to illustrate a point about being grateful when our debts are cancelled. See, this little parable has a point, and it's pointed directly at Simon. Because as Jesus continues to speak to Simon, he now turns to the woman, and he directly compares the way that they've treated him. Have a listen from verse 44. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet." Simon has acted towards Jesus with total indifference. He hasn't even met the basic requirements of being a good host. But the woman has acted towards Jesus with love. She's gone far beyond and above what was required. And to understand why this is, I think we need to go back to those two things that we thought of right at the beginning. See, the way that these two characters respond to Jesus reflects what they know about themselves and what they understand about Jesus. So take the woman first. There's no doubt that she would be very aware of her own sin. See, people like Simon would have labelled her a sinner every day. She would have known that she was an outsider and an outcast from the rest of society. She was confronted by the reality of her sin every single day. But she obviously knew something about Jesus as well. Maybe she had heard that Jesus would go into a synagogue, open a prophecy from the Old Testament, and say, "This is all about me." Maybe she had heard how Jesus had healed people, how he'd given them freedom from sickness, from evil spirits, even from death. Perhaps most significantly, she had heard that Jesus had a habit of spending time with outcasts and sinners just like her, and that he even offered them forgiveness for their sins. See, she knew something about Jesus that compelled her to come to him in the way that she did. If I could put it like this, she knew she needed compassion, and she knew Jesus could offer her that compassion. But Simon didn't. You can hear in the way that he talks to the woman. He doesn't think he needs forgiveness, and he certainly doesn't think that Jesus is in any place to offer forgiveness. As far as he's concerned, there's nothing special about Jesus at all. He isn't even a prophet. Jesus has nothing to offer an upright, respectable man like Simon. And so he treats Jesus the way that he did, total indifference. And this is what Jesus is getting at as he interprets their actions in verse 47. So he delivers the punchline to his parable and concludes the comparison between Simon and the woman. "Therefore," Jesus says, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." The woman's love points to the fact that she has found forgiveness by coming to Jesus. Simon's indifference points to the fact that he hasn't grasped his need for forgiveness, and he doesn't understand that Jesus is the one who gives it. So then, it remains for us to think about those two questions for ourselves. What does this passage say to me? And what does this teach me about Jesus? And I think, broadly speaking, there might be three different responses that we could have to this question this morning. So first off then, for many of you, you will have already recognized that you do need forgiveness. And you would have seen that Jesus offers that forgiveness, and you've turned to him, you've put all of your trust in him. To you, I want to say this morning, you have done the most reasonable and appropriate thing that anyone can possibly do. See, on the surface of things in this passage, the woman sticks out like a sore thumb. She's acting totally inappropriately. But then Jesus says, no, she has done what is right. See, I don't know if you've felt recently, I have at different times, that our faith in Jesus makes us stick out like a sore thumb. Maybe you feel that people look at you and go, Christianity, it's just backwards. We've moved on from that. It's outdated. Sometimes people would even say it's wrong. It's inappropriate. But in the end, responding to Jesus with love and devotion, clinging to him for forgiveness, shaping our whole lives around who he is and what he has done for us is the most appropriate thing we can do. So persevere in your love and devotion for Jesus. And who knows, maybe you could even take a leaf out of this woman's book. Could your love and devotion for Jesus afford to be a little bit more extravagant? Could you be a little bit more over the top in the way that you love Jesus? Secondly, maybe you've come along with a friend this morning, or you've rocked up, wanted to hear about this Jesus character, but ultimately you think that he's a good teacher, but, you know, he's a good example. But in the end, I'm actually totally fine. I'm a pretty good person. I don't need forgiving, or only just a little bit. God and me, we're fine. Well, if that's you, could I offer you a little challenge this morning? And say that that attitude is a bit like the attitude of Simon in this passage. See, Simon seriously underestimated the reality of his position before God. And he totally missed the gravity of who Jesus claimed to be. Because in that little story that Jesus told Simon, I don't think that he was saying that Simon only had a little bit to be forgiven. Before God, Simon needed exactly the same forgiveness as that woman. Simon had a great debt before God, and he needed it to be cancelled. So can I encourage you not to make that same mistake? Maybe you could come again to church over Easter. Maybe if you've come with a friend, you could even ask them, hey, can we read a little bit more of Luke's story, Luke's biography of Jesus' life? In the end, it's a hard thing, but a good thing to come to terms with the reality of your sin. And it's even better to accept it and then accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers. And then finally, there could be a third type of response. See, maybe you're here this morning and you are well aware that you need forgiveness. Maybe, like the woman in this story, you can't help but know that you've fallen short of your expectations for your own life. Maybe you feel like a bit of an outsider and an outcast. You could even be thinking that you're far beyond forgiving. How could God possibly accept someone like me? I hope that you have seen this morning that Jesus is full of compassion. He longs for you to come to him just like that woman did, so that he can welcome you and forgive you. And here's the wonderful thing. Because I don't think the compassion of Jesus is all we see here in this encounter. Because we also see that Jesus has great authority. See, after he'd spoken to Simon, Jesus then turned and spoke to the woman, and he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And you can see in the next verse that everyone else is amazed. Who is Jesus that he has the authority to say something like that? How can he do this? In the end, Jesus is able to say that because he is God himself who entered the world as a human being. He's able to do this because he lived a truly righteous life of perfect love and compassion and obedience to God. He's able to say this because he died a cruel death on a cross. And in his death, he cancelled our debt that we owed to God because of our sin. He's able to do this because he rose to life again, and now he lives and rules in heaven forever and ever. The compassion of Jesus means he's willing to forgive us. Jesus' authority, Jesus' identity, means he is able to forgive. So in a second, I'm going to pray. And if you know this morning that you need the compassion of Jesus, if you know that you need the forgiveness that only he can offer, then can I invite you to pray along with me? Just quietly to yourself, in your head, in your heart. And know that as you pray, you're coming to Jesus. And know that he's full of compassion. And that he has all the authority in heaven and on earth to forgive your sin. That's what the woman did, isn't it? She knew she needed forgiveness. Somehow, she knew that Jesus was full of compassion and that he was able to forgive her. So she came to him. She showed her love for him. She put all of her trust in Jesus. So that's the faith that Jesus talks about in verse 50. That's the faith that saved the woman. So as we come to Jesus with that same humble faith, we can know that Jesus welcomes us too. And he turns to us and he says, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Let's pray. Dear God, I know that I am not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I am guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you for sending your Son to die for me that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose again from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me so that I may live in love and devotion to Jesus, my Saviour. Amen.